Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
Darvish facing Arrieta tonight. Coincidence, irony, or both? Given that they were discussed as which one do you want when the Cubs were considering bringing on a new big-name pitcher, they were going to spend a lot of money, and they chose Darvish. So they face each other now.
I don't think it's appropriate to sort of issue start-to-start referenda on our starting pitchers as we go.
Not today.
As Jake comes to the plate, he gets an outstanding ovation from the Cub fans.
Jake acknowledging the fans. Well, Jake was a big part of the Cubs' success.
Brings back a lot of memories. Felt good to pitch here again. It was a lot of fun. It really was.
Swing and a miss. He got him. Nasty. That is a big pitch. Three strikeouts on the night. And a strike three called. It was the easiest inning of the night since the first.
You, Joe, said that that was your best game in a Cubs uniform. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah, especially first five inning. Was so good.
Ground ball, center field, base hit. This is going to tie the game. Now two men in scoring position, the 1-1. Line drive down the right field line, curling on the run is Hayward. That's going to be in there for a base hit, and two runs will score. And the Phillies now lead 3-1.
It's like rain on your wedding day. It's a free ride on your morning day.
Was so good.
Have beaten the Cubs here at Wrigley Field.
And isn't it ironic? Don't you think?
It's ironic. What's ironic? This, that we've come all this way, we made all this progress, but, you know, we lost the little things, the niceties. No, I mean, what does ironic mean?
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Good afternoon and welcome on board. I'm Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins is on vacation. Teddy Greenstein, the very talented multi-purpose writer from the Chicago Tribune, will ride alongside today until 5:30. That is as good as Alanis Morissette has sounded in my headphones, cranked up to 11, in a long, long time. I'm a huge fan of that song, and I am a huge fan of that album. And I apologize, Teddy, for nothing.
I love that album as well. And I've seen Alanis Morissette live, which probably means that every listener is going to be turning off the radio right now, now that I admitted that. But I saw them combination with Bare Naked Ladies.
Okay.
Out when, I think it was called the Tweeter Center then. You know, that one kind
it
of
switches sponsorships exactly, like every presidential election.
Every couple weeks, yeah. And here's what
Hollywood
surprised me
about Casino this year.
Oh, is it?
Yes, I think the Who are there tonight.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I really want to know.
Maybe they want to stop by the show and do a little, give us a little preview.
Yeah.
Would that be okay?
I don't want to meet Pete Townsend.
Why?
I think I don't think I'd like him. I'd try, but, you know, some of those guys are so too cool for the room. So I wouldn't want to. Daltrey, for sure.
Well, we could contrast them with being too cool for the room. We could probably balance it out. But here's what's surprising about that show. I thought it was going to be Bare Naked Ladies opening for Alanis. It was Alanis for Bare Naked. They were the Canadian. Trio or whatever they are, they were the big time show that night.
The Canadian trio or whatever they are
before they all got right. Before they got locked up on drugs.
The Canadian trio that isn't Rush. I like that. This top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves and San Diego are tied one game apiece in the Western Conference Finals. The Wolves return home Monday for Game 6 at Allstate Arena. Tickets start at $15. For playoff and ticket information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. Lousy way to lose a baseball game last night with that flare to right field being the one that does it. It was like, I don't know if there was a black cat anywhere at the ballpark yesterday. the ball that bounced funny on Hayward off the top of the padding. It was just a weird night, and unfortunately, you get the first quality start of the year from Yu Darvish, and you lose that thing. But lots of drama, and baseball season keeps providing that for us on a nightly basis.
Yeah, they got the Little League home run from Descalso, so they caught the break, a ball that probably should have been caught. I mean, if the left and center fielder were better at their jobs, that wouldn't have even fallen. Instead, they score three runs on that play. So you think, all right, this is meant to be, and it's going to be an interesting, you know, victory here for the Cubs. And then that little flare over Rizzo's glove, and yeah, bullpen couldn't hold it.
I would think by now, I would think after his last two starts, there, at least from my perspective, I don't know if you'd share it, there is a feeling of exhale with Darvish.
Yes.
You too?
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, you don't want him to have one of those games where it's, he needed 97 pitches for 2 2/3, and he's wrecked the bullpen now for the whole homestand. I mean, that's what you want. So at least when he gives you, you know, six-ish innings, even if it's not sterling stuff, you feel good. Plus, I mean, Joe says it every time. His stuff is awesome. It's kind of like Chatwood. I mean, you could just see it. People like us who, or people like me who didn't even really play the game that much, you see the action he's got on those pitches. You can see if he can find the strike zone, man, he's going
to
be tough.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to, you know, I don't know how into some of the geeky things about baseball, not sabermetrics, not math, but base running. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about base running a little bit today because I think it's an area of concern for the Cubs, and I don't know if it's a difference maker last night, but, and we'll contrast and compare. Different calls, Cubs, Cubs broadcasters, Phillies broadcasters. Rizzo in the seventh last night. I thought it absolutely was the right thing to send him on the fly ball hit to Harper by little Elsie, little Sparky Elmora. That was just
a little Sparky.
That's what I just such a little go getter. You know what? He's never going to be Willie Mays, but he gives it the old college try every time out, doesn't he?
He's a runner. He's a hustler.
He fights
yeah.
himself.
By the
all
way,
the time.
Talking about how we're going to compare broadcasts, that reminds me of back in the sports media days when I would check out a White Sox Cubs game. And then I would compare the calls, you know, same stuff that we're seeing, and then two completely different set of facts, different interpretations of the same play.
Rizzo is, he's not fast.
No.
So he has to be fundamentally sound when he runs in short bursts.
Yeah.
He isn't. I didn't get a shot last night. I did not see the MLB Network feed. Costas did that game, and I didn't even think of that until he sings the stretch last night. But I think you've got to get in a better. We didn't see what he looked like when he took off from third, but when the throw comes in, they cut to the angle from behind the plate where you can see Rizzo leaning toward the inside of the diamond. Philly's catcher comes up and to his left to field the throw from Harper, and Rizzo isn't mindful of where the catcher is getting set to receive the ball.
That was kind of rumbling, bumbling, stumbling. You remember the David Bode slide a couple weeks ago when he somehow sneaks? I want to say maybe it was even his right hand that he got in. I mean, it was kind of a tuck and roll kind of thing. This was the opposite of that. The Bode one was like, I kept showing that to my kids. I'm like, I can't believe he scored. I mean, this is incredible. This is like the best fundamental slide I've ever seen. Rizzo looked like a guy who, you know, had had a few or something.
Well, he's running straight up, too. I did a freeze. You noticed that, too, Shep? I did the freeze frame with the remote.
He is an awkward-looking runner. Like it does not look comfortable in any way, shape, or form when he is trying to really bust it down a line.
You got to get some body lean when you're not naturally.
It's like a straight-up like weird guy in gym class.
Yeah, when the sprinters, when they cross, when you have a 100-meter guy, their body lean is forward, and Rizzo's just chugging away. His arms are a-pumping. Come on, Tony, get on up there. Get there.
Yeah. Whew. I think most guys would have gone to the outside and snuck in their left hand with those slides that they do now.
Well, you got to be watching the catcher.
Yeah.
If you see the catcher
setting
up.
Well in front. I think like a lot of guys have that in their arsenal now. And Big Anthony Rizzo probably doesn't. He brings so much to the table. I mean, defensively, leadership, hitting, and all that kind of stuff. If he's not a great base runner, we can excuse that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not trying to bang him around. I worry about injuries with Cubs base runners, too. Bryant has slidden.
Slidden.
Has slid just doesn't sound complete, does it?
It's like have drunk slidden.
He slided?
I think
he hasn't slid.
I'm just gonna go with slid.
Shep,
there.
Punch it up. I know you weren't at North Central the day they taught these words. Anyway, Bryant has gone down awkwardly on occasion, but that's how he jams his shoulder. And he goes into first base the other night against the team's wishes. I hate to see one of their more integral players get banged up and wind up on the injury list because of a slide. And that's not something you can practice easily either.
Well, it's also they've changed the rules in the last 3-4 years. I mean, a guy like Anthony Rizzo a decade ago, he barrels into the catcher and he's safe. And now you can't barrel in, or if he's blocking the plate, you can. So I think it is tough for these guys as they're heading into the plate, what they're allowed to do, what they can't do. There's a lot going on in a short period of time.
This hour of the show is brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto. We'll get to some of your reactions in just a little bit. You want to shoot us a text message, 670-11 is how you do that. The Scores text line is brought to you by MegaPros. Repair, remodel, renovate, megapros.com. And you want to jump in, you're welcome to do it along the way too. 312-644-6767 is our telephone number. I'm reading terrible up on the screen. Is our terrible number.
Amor's terrible slide.
Terrible slide, yeah. And he at least feet first into first base last night when he slid.
We got it. If we're going to do terrible, we got to say it Barkley style. You ever do a Charles Barkley imitation?
No.
Terrible?
Terrible? Terrible. I'm not very good at it. Everyone else does it anyway.
Well, none of us are actually good at it, but yeah.
I couldn't have seen Costas last night. Anybody? Someone texted.
No.
Because of restrictions. I didn't know that was the case. They're force feeding you the local. Well, I want to talk about Bastards. Local broadcast crews too today, since I read about the Cubs television crew is in the last year of its contract. I know I kind of sort of checked the temperatures of baseball fans who listen on both radio and television and see what they're thinking. The Sox television booth was leading by a percentage point over the Cubs television booth in terms of which one people are voting for as their favorite on my Twitter poll.
I thought the great upset of the Pat Mooney story in The Athletic was, unless I just missed it, was there no reference to David Kaplan? I think there was nothing. I thought the whole story was going to be, hey, Crane, how are you guys going to possibly recover from this loss? You know, like you didn't sign Bryce Harper, or the White Sox didn't sign Manny Machado. I don't think Cap was in there.
Yeah, but that's something I'll talk to Crane about. We got to get Crane on the show soon. We're going to have Theo on the show tomorrow.
Sweet.
But Crane is the business end of this. Everything with Marquee is up in the air. Crane is promising in Mooney's piece today that they're ahead of schedule, yet nobody, even industry insiders like a Teddy Greenstein. I don't know what they're thinking in terms of live and local programming. I've heard nothing.
Yeah, I mean, the buzz is that they're way behind, but Crane says everything's fine. I got to say, Crane Kenny's pretty smart. He's impressive. He's been, dissed a lot over the years. Maybe he's a guy who... tactically, he says what he wants to say. He's not somebody who, like the Ricketts, is always going to say something to please everybody. He just lays it out there.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty smart. I don't think he's going to mess this up. I thought interesting from that story was, his contention that they're fine with the Comcast folks. That NBC Sports Chicago is saying, all right, you want to break off. We're okay with the three teams we have left. It's not going to be acrimonious. And that's obviously important, because if that Cubs network is not on Comcast, whew, then there's going to be some issues.
Yeah. He's Teddy G. I'm Danny Mac. Your reaction, lots of baseball, some golf chatter today, and some football as well. We're with you until Cubs baseball tonight at 5:30 right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Bases loaded. One away. The pitch to Al Mora, lined into right field. Harper under it, makes the catch. Rizzo tags. Here comes the throw. Rizzo avoids the catcher, but is tagged out by Real Muto, who caught the ball. Rizzo had to kind of jump slide off to the left. Did not touch home plate and was tagged out by the catcher, Real Muto. A double play to end the fifth inning.
Zach Zaidman had the call right here on the score last night in the seventh inning. Albert Almora slaps one to right field, and Bryce Harper's throw a little bit off the mark. But in Anthony Rizzo's defense, a texter points out, got a bad back, missed a few ball games recently. This is very much true, but that's not my favorite text of the lot. My favorite text is brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Subway, make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. My favorite text is the one asking if Shep can beat Anthony Rizzo in a foot race. That one, Shep, you think so? Can you get him?
Am I backpedaling? Because that's the only way it's interesting.
Wow. Really? That yes, got now this I is would. Present day Shep, yes. Not 09 yes, Shep that can beat up Patrick Kane.
This is May 21st, 2019 Shep.
Shep, what's your 40 time, bro?
I don't know what it is now.
What was your best 40 time?
4.55.
Come on.
You did not bust
it
4.6.
On track spike.
Honestly?
Back in the day,
You ran a 4.55?
He should be on the Bears top 100 list.
It wasn't the actual like fat time. That's like the official time.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that was an all-state
hurdler. It was Cole City time?
All-state hurdler.
Yet junior college time is where I ran.
Wow. Man. Wow, that's cooking.
Yeah, forget about a Rizzo race. Let's get him with your boy Almora.
Almora is the...
Almora Jr. has proven he is Gary Sheffield quick like in there.
A-Rod meant with his hands, though, not with his feet. Although Vasgersian thinks he's fast. I don't know.
Is it?
Oh, he's Latin. He's got to be fast. Is that what Vasgersian thought the other night?
I don't know what the heck he thought, because
now they have to respect the speed of Albert Elmore.
But like Elmore is, he's not a fast guy, but he's just perfect in his routes. Like
he's smart.
Quick reaction, yes. All of that.
Yeah.
But he's like the slowest, awesome center fielder I can ever remember, if that makes any sense.
I know exactly what you're saying.
He's
he's
no Charlie Tilson.
Yeah.
Reading the baseball off the bat is key, especially if you don't have great speed. I watch him when I go to ball games, and he is constantly on his toes. He's constantly moving his feet. Body leans based on where the pitch is going into the zone. Okay, so you heard Zach Zaidman's description. Rizzo coming too far inside of the diamond and then having to weave all the way back around to try and elude the catcher. Fortunately, he didn't go down in a heap and hurt himself.
I just looked at the replay. Another problem with Riz there, he's looking toward right field as he's running to the plate. That's probably not the best way to go, right?
Right.
Just go straight line.
Down.
Look at your target.
Yep, that's what you need to do. You see what the catcher's doing to react to him. So here's, is this Phillies television, Phillies radio, Tanny?
Phillies TV, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tom McCarthy and Ben Davis.
Oh,
of
yeah,
course. Why
Ben
not?
Davis is in the house.
You may remember Ben Davis from White Sox fame, 2004.
Come on, Timo. Come on, Timo. Come on, Timo. Come on, Timo.
Now Mora hits one out toward right field. Harper makes the catch. Rizzo's tagging, coming home. The throw to the plate is... in time! On the fly from Bryce Harper, and Anthony Rizzo is nailed at home plate.
How about it? Bryce continuing to do his thing in right field with this defense. Rizzo's not saying a whole heck of a lot. Now, for the life of me, I don't know why Rizzo just doesn't go straight towards home plate. The more you go around home plate, the more time you give the catcher to catch the ball and go after the body. If you make a direct path to home plate, he might not have beaten it, but I think he gives himself a better chance.
Yep.
Most direct path between two points is a straight line.
Really?
Right?
Well, he's half right.
He might have been right into the tag, though, by Real Muto.
I mean, either way, you're just giving him more time to reach back and tag you. Someone does that, you know, the slide away from the bag and tag the bag or the plate with your left hand. Everyone's doing that. I just don't see. I just think it takes up too much time. You're just giving a defender more time to apply the tag.
It's done as a necessity.
But a great play. Great throw by Bryce. Great tag by
Pennsylvania
JT.
Accent
96 miles
that, right?
An hour on that throw from Bryce Harper.
Doing what he does out there. In It was off the mark. Okay, he got there on a fly. It wasn't that well hit.
I mean, I think the proper call would have the words belly flop in it, because that's what Anthony Rizzo ended up doing. He was like,
he had no
face
choice.
Down.
Yeah. He had no choice. Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves in San Diego are tied one game apiece in the Western Conference Finals. The Wolves return home Monday for Game 6 at Allstate Arena. Tickets start at $15. For playoff and ticket information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. We got a lineup for you, and as Joe Maddon told Lawrence Holmes at noon today, Joe's on every Tuesday at noon, Addison Russell will start again tonight as Javi Baez continues to rest his bad heel.
That's smart. I mean, Joe wanted to rest him anyway. It's May. It's cold outside. Give the guy a break. that throw he made to first base the other night when he was charging in, what, it was coming 100 feet?
Right.
He's playing in shallow left field.
He's needed a day off anyway.
Totally.
Yeah, so he gets it again tonight. Schwarber leads off and plays left field. Chris Bryant, the third baseman. Rizzo at first. Contreras, the catcher, will hit cleanup. Hayward in right. Almora in center. Descalso, the second baseman. Addison Russell, as I mentioned, the shortstop. And Jose Quintana will pitch for the Cubs. Not great last time out, but it was a crappy afternoon in Cincinnati when we last saw Q go to work.
He's had only really two bad ones all year. He hasn't had a lot of great ones, but he's been solid. He's been your typical, what, number three, number four kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. So when does it become time, Teddy, in your baseball world for Theo to make a move with bullpen help?
Ooh, now. Because, I mean, as we saw Joe the other night, if you're given C-Sheck, if you're batting C-Sheck as a pinch hitter and then just hoping he probably doesn't put it in play, because then if he puts it in play, he's going to run, and then you're bringing him back for the ninth. Now, look, C-Sheck was awesome that game, and it turned out to be the right decision, certainly in the short term, but that to me was a scream for help.
Yeah, I think it might be a little early. I think he's going to do it, and we had a text a little while ago, some guy all over Theo Epstein. I'm not going to pin it to the bullpen last night for the way that thing got away. It was a little squib hit into right field that beat a guy who's been pretty good.
Yeah, nobody's, tits got lit up.
There
wasn't any of that happening. Sorry, that's my old baseball vernacular coming back.
That's a no can do.
Oh, sorry about that,
everybody.
Yeah, that's
okay. Man, what is it about Spiegel had
about
one yesterday?
Seat the last week. Good God.
I'm making sure those guys are awake.
Terry had, two or three of them in
Terry
one show?
Terry had two in about 40 minutes. So I don't know how many he had for the week.
So I got to catch up.
You guys are rubbing off on me, too, because I dropped an F-bomb. But now I stopped in the middle of it. Didn't I stop? The F-bomb?
Yeah, there was
enough of it to dump it, though, right?
Oh, definitely. Oh, I think my heart stopped in the middle of it, so I don't remember how much of it you got out. But
I always freak out when I say so. I usually don't do it, but if it happens once every couple years, and I get so excited, I can't find the button. They all look the same to me.
I just smack
the whole which
thing.
One is it? That's a blinking button. It says start. That's not it. There's a code button. There's all kinds of buttons.
Traditionally, the dump button is the button that says dump.
I know.
That on your side.
Well, and then I gotta fumble for my reading glasses because I'm old.
Yeah, that reminds me. Hey, Homer, the traditional way of cheating in golf is to lower your score. The dump button is the one that says D-U-M-P. Traditionally,
the pants.
I want to share a White Sox fan buddy of mine, Vans, who is a season ticket holder. I try to help him out now and again and subsidize his investment.
Good.
He knows you're here today, so he asked this question. Maybe a mention today of the Tribune's coverage of last night's Sox game.
Yeah.
One photo, no story, no tidbits, no score, no box score. Would you like to speak for your publication?
So he was not in favor of it. He was not in favor of our coverage.
He's one of those, he keeps an eye on that sort of thing.
Yeah, we get a lot of emails about this.
That's hideous.
What we're doing with the Sox on the road now is we're using Associated Press. We're saving a little money on travel. When the Sox get good again and get relevant, we will be big on the Sox. Right now, they look at numbers, they look at metrics, not doing a ton.
Yeah.
I'd say we look at the White Sox a little bit like...
Is the opponent a draw? They're playing the Astros. The Astros are one of the best teams in baseball. Will you get sight clicks?
No, you know what I thought maybe would have had a staff? Eloy coming back. Or Eloy, as I should say, Jimenez.
Eloy. He calls himself Eloy.
It's Rick Hahn who started
the Eloy revolution, and it's not flying on this
show.
But
now I'm Team Gene Honda after reading the piece today. Gene says it's Alloy, that I'm going with Alloy, Jimenez.
Thank you, Tanny. That is why I corrected it myself, too. Being around Gene, who gets every single name right, he goes, it's Eloy. So I'm going to now say Eloy. But no, I think do a good job with the White Sox at home. We have one or two people out there for every game. Features, like the Gene Honda thing is a little bit White Soxy, but for the road,
a little bit.
Right now, look, there's certain teams that we cover home and road every single game, and we're talking about Bears and Cubs and basically Bulls and Blackhawks. The White Sox will get to that point again, but there are other things we don't cover every day now, like, say, Illinois football and basketball that used to be a no-brainer every single game.
Yeah, this is where your industry is, and I'm completely divorcing myself from ever being a newspaper guy because of where the industry is. I'll throw it all in your lap. It's the Sunday paper, which used to be something a lot of us would look forward to.
No doubt.
It's your pal. It's, you know, first snowfall of the fall, and you're sitting there with your Sunday trip sports site. These days, it's a dinner menu.
Yeah, it's not close to as thick as it used to be. I mean, the papers used to be wide and thick, and now they are not. And our industry is hurting. Look, and for people who complain, one thing I tell them is, look, please continue to subscribe if you can afford it, because everybody who complains, if they stop subscribing, like, don't expect this all to be free or else it all goes away. Just like you have to pay for movies or pay for songs.
When you say subscribe, you mean online.
Either way, I mean, print or online. But what we're doing now, we have our deadlines earlier. So if you want the best game story possible, you get the one online, because that's the one that can be filed at midnight or one in the morning and has all the really good quotes.
Mm-hmm. I'm guilty of not giving the Sox enough love. I just, and for reasons you just illuminated, you know, I don't consider it part of the job to create interest. I did once upon a time, and that was a foolish and selfish way to approach it when I was beating the drums for hockey in this town 30 years or so ago. That's not your job. You got to reflect the interest, and it's regarding the Cubs. But that still does. I still feel like I've been light in how my. In fact, over the weekend, I paid no attention to the Sox.
Yeah, I mean, earn your coverage. You know, have players that are compelling, have a product that's good, and then everyone will be back. Look, there's no inherent bias, but when you look at the Cubs versus the Sox, I mean, I thought about this in terms of walking down Michigan Avenue. Like, the most famous Sox player compared to how many Cubs? Now, I guess Tim Anderson now has probably emerged. Hopefully, he's a guy who everybody would recognize walking down Michigan Avenue.
They
still wouldn't.
No.
Jose Abreu, not everybody.
Maybe.
But my point being, the Cubs have all these guys that people want to read about. I mean, they want to read about Rizzo and Bryant and all that. I understand that's tough for Sox fans, but I look at it like, you know, be mad at your team. Be mad at your team for not being more relevant and not making the playoffs recently. When they do, if these guys are all good again, Kopech and Cease and Aloy and all these guys, believe me, you will get a lot of coverage.
I understand that, but you're the Chicago freaking Tribune, and that they're a professional franchise in town.
Okay, well, so are the Fire. I mean, there are a lot of professional franchises that we don't cover every day.
You're going to compare the Fire to the White Sox?
I'm just telling you, there's a lot of stuff we used to cover every day.
Can you make a plausible argument for local soccer versus the White Sox? If you can,
no, it's an extreme example.
I don't
know.
Maybe there's enough. I know they draw okay.
Right. I mean, I think a better comparison might be Illinois basketball. When they were good, we would be at every home and road game, and we'd write about them three or four times a week. And when the White Sox get good again, we'll go huge with them. Right now, it's just not that compelling a product. I mean, we all see the numbers in terms of page views, and if Cubs stories are getting 10 to 15 times what White Sox stories are getting, if you're the editor, where are you sending your people?
Yeah, I get it.
You know, I mean, there's look, yeah, we have nothing against the White Sox. We just want them to be good and interesting. Is that so much to ask?
Well, former White Sox players dueling it out last night.
Yeah.
We'll get into that a little bit later on, if you don't mind. Some golf at the top of the hour for those of you who watch golf on television and or like to play a little bit yourself. I'm going to hit Mr. Golf up with a handful of rapid-fire questions.
Yeah.
Want to get into the local baseball broadcast booths in a few minutes. Teddy Greenstein is in for Danny Parkins. I'm Mac. You're listening to The Score.
Join Ryan Dempster and friends in an exclusive performance of Off the Mound.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
My understanding is that Len and JD, it's unclear whether they would remain Cubs employees or not, but Crane reiterated yesterday what he told you guys, I think, at Mesa, that Sinclair is 100% on board with Len and JD, and I do think that's a really important component to this when you're looking at people trying to find the channel or, you know, kind of wrapping their arms around something different. You need two guys who've been in your home for years, who are really hardworking guys. They've got great relationships. They're, you know, anti-divas. They get along with everyone, you know, behind the scenes.
Patrick Mooney from The Athletic this morning right here on The Score Sports Radio 670 talking about his piece today. He wrote about Marquee, the Cubs television network, which is going to be launched this coming February. Casper and DeShays, the veteran voices of the Cubs in their final year of their contract. You want to jump in on this? Do it real quickly because we're not going to spend a ton of time on it. But 312-644-6767 is our telephone number with Teddy Greenstein. I'm Danny Mac. Follow me on Twitter at DannyMac670, where today I asked this question: which local baseball broadcast tandem is your favorite? Getting 36% of the votes of the 1,500-plus who've checked in. Benetti and Stone leading the way, followed very closely by Casper and DeShays, getting 32%. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer right here on the score, getting 28%. Farmer and Jackson, and Farmer and Darren Jackson get 3% of the votes. And, of course, a lot of people felt compelled to comment in many different capacities.
I would absolutely agree with every percentage given. And I'm right there.
Well, it's science, so I think I'm glad you agree with it, because it did the math for us.
Yeah, I mean, Benetti and Stone are my favorites. I think those guys are great. I think both Cubs broadcasts are super solid. Everything Pat Hughes touches, you know, touches gold, if I'm saying that right, turns to gold maybe. And the other Sox broadcast is not my favorite. So I think, you know, 3% is what I expected.
I'm biased on the Sox radio broadcast. It's difficult for me to be as, you know, because I've gotten to know some of these guys.
I know, this is so awkward for us.
I like Ed Farmer. It's still every now and again, his patter is difficult for my ears. But I've come to like him on a personal level, yeah. So therefore I find it to be a comfortable listen. I voted for Benetti and Stone, however. Yes. That would be the one that I would call my favorite, but that doesn't mean it's not without flaws.
So Benetti and Stone is also my favorite because I think Jason does a remarkable job of both keeping the game really interesting, which isn't always easy on those White Sox games. They're often long games, and the win-loss is not as crucial. I mean, look, they haven't been in a playoff race in a number of years. I'm not trying to take a shot. That's just the truth. But Jason,
I'll save a bunch of these from earlier.
He does a great job of keeping the game interesting, but realizing it's a 3-hour and 20-minute broadcast. I'm going to, you know, take some chances here. I'm going to ask Stoney some obscure stuff, some interesting stuff about his career. He's got great pop culture references. He knows everything that's going around the game, mm-hmm. and he's got great pipes. And Stoney is with somebody who's obviously he's very, very comfortable with.
There was a comfort level right out of the gate between those two, and usually it takes quite a bit of time to get that. Man, now maybe because they sort of softly launched that as Harrelson continued to retire over what seemed like a 5-year stretch.
And I'd imagine if you work with Stoney, you have to defer to his opinion. He's got a lot of them, yeah. And you know, a traditional play-by-play guy works best with him.
Jason needs to back off on the cute, though.
Really?
That would be, yeah. He's not always very – he tries really hard to be funny, and I get it that you're doing a team where you got to have a little bit more panache, maybe, just a little bit more something, but – let the comedy come to you. And this is coming from me. Don't force it. I think he forces it a little bit. That'll come, hopefully, with more experience working with Stone.
He has that thing where he sometimes tries puns, and he knows they're bad puns, or people don't get them, and it's like tumbleweed, you know, going across the screen, and then he kind of makes fun of himself for a bad attempt. So I admire it. I just think it's a tough job, man. It is a long game. And
you know, the Dalmatian there is always in a pitcher's count. The 2-2.
Yikes. Really? That's it, huh?
That's what I got for you.
That's what you got.
Yeah. That's good.
I don't get that. Dalmatian in the pitcher's count.
Danny, help him out.
The Dalmatian was wearing a 2-2. Sorry, I went with the short version there because we played.
I was thinking like 101 or something Dalmatians.
Dalmatian was actually wearing a pink 2-2, it was in the pitcher's count.
A couple texters suggesting Ed and DJ are by far the best team in town. Then another one suggesting that they are they're just absolutely awful, unbelievably boring. Once much fun, one guy writes is watching paint dry.
Well, I like the one who digs Farmer and Stone. Oh, let's say Farmer and Stone my favorite combo. The Big Kielbasa. I like his nickname.
Let's try Jim on the South Side on Sports Radio 670 The Score. We only got about a minute, Jim. Go ahead.
All right, listen. Benetti and Stone, without a doubt. I hate to say it, but Casper gives so much dead air. JD's great, but without a doubt, Benetti and Stone. Mm. Entertaining, informative, and Casper and Casper, I don't know. There's some... his voice or something, but a lot of dead air.
That caller sounds a little bit like Doug Buffone. Old friend Doug Buffone there.
Yeah, that's a guy. He's
he does.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you say, little buddy? All right, then. I would go opposite on the assessment of the Cubs television crew. Len, to me, is the master craftsman. Hmm. No, I think he talks the right amount. I think he gives Jim lots of room that he doesn't take all the time.
I think Len
is okay. It's television. I can see it.
I think Len also has very good home run calls. Like, he doesn't overdo it if it's a non-consequential home run, but if it's a bomb, like Taylor Davis's call, you know, when he had that grand slam a couple Saturdays ago,
right?
Really good.
Yeah, well, I think it'll be his last of Taylor Davis.
Ouch, man.
That fella can't hit major league pitching.
Oh.
Quickly to Mike in Homer Glen, formerly the home of Woodbine Golf Course. Mike, we got 30
seconds.
That's
right, Danny. We miss you.
Yep.
I would rather have root canal without Novocaine than listening to Farmer and Jackson. God help you if you want to know the score of the game. You might go four innings. And I know they don't win a lot, so maybe that's why they don't want to get the score.
Yeah, but you know who's engineering back at the shop, back at GN, right? Ned Farmer gives more pub to the engineers than anybody in the history of baseball broadcasts. Thanks, Mike. We appreciate it.
Mike has an awesome Chicago accent.
Yeah.
Jackson.
Yeah,
that was sweet.
Yeah, we had Doug Buffone and Chicago Mike.
Oh, yeah.
How about that? I'm going to do some golf. PGA. Brooks Koepka won again over the weekend. Four majors. But why should I care about Brooks and local tracks? What's going on? What are the best courses in the area? I'm going to do some rapid fire at Mr. Golf, Teddy Greenstein. I'm Mac. It's the Score Sports Radio 670.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.